I think I want to talk to you about the love of God. I suppose it's possibly because in these days, when at this time of the year, I have been privileged to be in many days of conferences here and there, that one has seen the wonder of the love of God, both at work and upon people and coming into people and changing people and all sorts of things of this glorious nature taking place. I have received two overwhelming letters today from people, and I like to receive these kinds of letters, telling me how much they love me, and this sort of thing. And it's so glorious. One letter I received, I never counted it, but I should think that out of about, might have been 100 words in the letter, I reckon 50 of them were love. I love Jesus, and I love him, and love him, and love him, and love him, and this sort of thing. And I love you, and I love everybody, and this from a young woman. Well, if you'd have known her before she sort of fell in love like this, you would have thought that she was in desperate need. And indeed she was. But the basic need of her heart was to really fall in love. Now, she's a married woman, and she's got a husband that loves her, and on that level everything's all right. She's got kiddies that she loves and love her, and she's got a mother that she loves and loves her, and all that. It isn't that side at all. But to see the effect and know the effect of someone who at last, by marvelous revelation of the Spirit, falls into real love for the first time in their lives. What a glorious thing this is, to know this. And you know, this immediately was the answer to all her needs. She thought she had lots of other needs. I suppose I could have put her through some process of analysis and discovered all kinds of things in her life. But this wasn't the important thing. The tremendous thing that she needed was to fall in love. That's what she needed. And when this happened to her, when the Holy Ghost just made the love of Jesus so wonderful and so real that she was prepared to just let herself go and fall into this deep abyss and just be filled and saturated. Everything else has been dealt with. Glory, glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, beloved, people hang back, they hold back from this, vainly imagining that the answer to their problem or their need lies in some other thing. Power, for instance, or deliverance, usefulness, something like this. When all the time, this is the greatest secret of all, I know that God has ever made plain to my heart, to really love. You see, love, beloved, is not just a sort of a feeling you get. Love is the complete basic change of the whole life. It's the It's the key. It's the major thing. It's a change of attitude. It's a complete right about turn. It's a revolution. It's the biggest alteration. It cannot be put into words when God really turns the whole life, changes everything into an attitude, a disposition, a depth, a height, a length, a breadth, a love that's just beyond comprehension in the person themselves and in anybody who comes into touch with it or seeks to measure it or understand it. It's beyond the finiteness of mind. It cannot be explained, even as it can't be touched. You can only receive it, you can only bask in it, you can only enjoy it, or you can refuse it and criticize it or do anything you like about it, but you can't touch it once it's there. And it's there to grow, and it's there to expand, it's there to develop into all the glorious ways of Jesus, into all the lovely touches, into all the beautiful tones, into all its passages and interchanges. That's what it's there for. And glory be to God, that's all that there is about it, and the devil can't do anything about it, and that's all that life is for, and that's why people are brought into situations, and it's why things happen, it's why things go wrong, as well as why things go right, I mean judging by human standards. It's why all these things happen, beloved, simply because these are the ways in which love groweth and develops and comes into all the glorious fullnesses that God has for it. The blessed surprises when you wake up and look back and find that you loved in that, and whatever they said or did never changed anything and couldn't do anything about it. In fact, it only, all the people only succeeded in making you think about them more lovingly and want to help them more deeply. This, beloved, is the miracle. This is the great change that's taken place. It's tenacious. It can't be shaken off. It can't be broken. It can't be altered. It neither starves and dies away, nor pales or becomes insignificant. It just grows and grows and grows and grows. And but for our finiteness, it would embrace everybody in the whole wide world, because it's all the love of God. Nevertheless, it embraces all those it knows, and it shines out on everybody, friend or foe. It doesn't matter whether they're relative or stranger. It doesn't matter what they are or who they are. This is what it's all about, and this is the explanation to all the things that's going on in your life. This is the explanation of it. And the Lord is going to develop this, beloved. He's going to develop it. You take it from me. This is the thing that I've discovered. That the Lord is doing this. I love often to read in John 13 just those opening words before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That's right. That's him. having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And at the end of the chapter, he says, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Praise God, that you love one another as I have loved you. Praise God. I don't know whether you do love people redemptively, do you? Do you love me redemptively? Do you love me sufficiently to give yourself for me? Do I love you sufficiently to give myself for you? Worthless as I am. Useless as it would be. No, says Jesus, not useless. You are to love one another. Glory be to God. And you know, when a man gets hold of this, when it burns in his heart, he can add by the Spirit what Peter added. See? Love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Praise God. He could add that by the same blessed Spirit. Jesus said, here's a commandment. You're to love one another as I have loved you. And Peter learned that Jesus loved him with a pure heart and loved him fervently. That's what Peter discovered. And so he adds this. And mark you, you'll notice that there's very little prophetical ministry, you know, very few prophecies in the New Testament. Lots of them in the Old. That's why people like to indulge in it. When you get it to the New Testament, you'll find that men are speaking out of experience. That's what you'll find in the New Testament. There are promises and prophetic statements about the future in the New Testament. But you'll find that in the Old Testament there were great prophecies made by men. Future, future, future. What was going to happen to Egypt, what was going to happen to Babylon, what was going to happen to Assyria, what was going to happen to this, what was going to happen to that. You know, you can find them chapter after chapter after chapter. When you get in the New Testament, you'll find this sort of thing. Here's a man, he's speaking out of his life. What a tremendous thing it is to love with a pure heart, fervently. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And then you get John speaking like this. Let's go into John's letter, shall we? And you see, in the third chapter of his first epistle, he says, verse 18, little children, let's not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. And hereby we know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. See, perhaps John's mind's going back with Peter's to that day when they each lay around that table and Jesus had said to them, love one another as I have loved you. They'd just eaten the bread and they'd just eaten the wine. It all happened because the feast of the Passover was drawing near. And Jesus was thinking, this is wonderful. I'm going to be able to give my life for them. I'm going to be able to lay down my life for them. I'm going to be able to pour out my blood for them. Think of it. Do you remember he'd already said, he'd arranged it, go on, now go on, do it, Judas. He said, you read John 13, go on. But go on. Get out now, go on. Go and sell me. I want to lay down my life for these. I want to pour out my blood for these. Do you love like that? That's what he said. You ought to love as I've loved you. See, Jesus didn't love the people, so he always wanted to be standing up in the midst prophesying and preaching and lecturing and telling people what they ought to do, what they ought to be and what they ought not to be. He got them into the upper room. He says, oh, with desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, he said. Glory. He said, love one another as I've loved you, will you? You know, you never ought to talk to anybody. You ever ought ever to open your mouth to talk about anybody until you're prepared, first of all, to say, here, drink my blood. I want to pour my blood in. If you can't say that, you better keep your mouth shut. We don't want to love in word and in tongue. We don't want lecturers, prophets and teachers and preachers. We want, not really, we don't. You see, they can only come if Jesus gives them to the church. Read Ephesians chapter 4. He gives these people to the church. We don't want them trained. We don't want them trained. We can train them off a wrong basis all in. Unless a man wants to give himself to the body of Christ, wants to lay down his life because he's utterly in love, you've no business to train him to be a preacher. None at all. God forgive us. What a glorious thing this is. See, old John says, don't let it be in word. He could think of it. He can see it all now, looking back. There was the platter with the bread on it. There was the cup with the wine in it. And Jesus saying, love one another, will you? Love one another as I've loved you. Will you do that? Will you? Will you do that? Takes it right out of the world of sham, doesn't it? Puts it right into the region of utter reality. Oh God, if you can't take this in, if you're sleepy and can't understand this, beloved, if there's something about you that doesn't sort of cotton on here, or your mind's running away on other things, there's something radically wrong. Because that's what happened to them, their mind ran away on other things. Old Peter said, oh, can't I follow you? And can't I do this? He never heard Jesus say that. He never heard Jesus say that. You read it in John 13. He didn't hear Jesus say, love one another as I've loved you. He didn't hear Jesus say that. Say, well, he must have done, but he didn't. That's it. Oh, of course, he heard words, but he didn't hear it in here. He didn't hear it in here. Do you hear it in here? Well, if you hear it in here, it'll radically change your life. As I have loved you. Praise God that ye should love one another. That's why he loved us, so that we should love one another. You know, he intends that his love to us, beloved, should be so wonderful that we should immediately want to love other people. That's what he intends. Oh, not with this love that easily gets offended and can't do it. Not with this love that says, well, I've tried and they wouldn't have it. Not with this love that's so sort of lovey-dovey in talk or anything like that. Not that kind of love. That's the wrong love. I admit you've got that kind of love. It's purely human. You think because you you say you've had the baptism in the Spirit or something, that's it. But it isn't, you know. It isn't. That's a deception. An utter deception where so many people go wrong. This love of God, beloved, it's undeniable. It's absolutely undeniable. There it is. It lays itself down to be kicked and cursed. Lays itself down to be trampled on. It thrives in that. It can't be redemptive until it's got there. Lays itself open like a lamb. Let never, never protects itself. Never vindicates itself. Never runs away. Never uses every disadvantage to advantage, turns every curse into a blessing, uses every step towards death as a step to life. Praise God! Love defeats all the devil's purposes. Love turns the point of every thorn. Love blunts every spear. Love, it turns a cross into an altar. Praise God. That's what love does. Amen. Love, let it be denied food and it'll give itself to be food. Let it be denied drink and it'll pour out its own blood and water for people to drink. This is love. Let love be scoffed at and it'll smile like the sun. Let it be reproached and it will come out, beloved, with wonderful, tender words. This is love. I know, I'm learning. Slowly, I know. But I'm learning. Praise his wonderful name. Love is a marvelous thing. It does away with all the old things of self, the sort of mannerisms and ways and eyebrows raisings and the face pullings and all the sort of distortions of self. Does away with all that. It takes on a face, beloved, that's marred and torn, and it's set in that pattern, and then it shines like the sun through it all. That's what it does. It takes the fixed features of Jesus. It isn't made of rubber. It doesn't belong to a comedian. It belongs to Jesus. Yeah, that's right. So far from bearing its own load, it bears everybody else's. This is what love does. Instead of trying to encompass its own needs, it encompasses the world's. Instead of remembering itself, it says, "You please remember me. I want to forget myself. I want to be free to remember this thief here on the cross. I want to be free to remember this one. I'm gone." Love goes into oblivion. Love goes into self-forgetfulness. Love doesn't want to retain anything for itself. Nothing at all. Wants to give all. And as sure as you live, as you get in this life of love, you'll find yourself poor and needy. You'll find yourself in this thing and in that thing. And you know what it'll be for? So that you can have the riches of God. You'll find yourself so needy for, as the things of this world are, that you'll have the great need for God. The sustentation of God. The great power and love of God. This is what it's all about. Love wants to empty itself that others can be filled, and finds it can't empty itself. Wants to empty itself out, I mean. You see? It doesn't matter, beloved. It doesn't matter. It doesn't get up into the effects and feelings and positions that so many get up to, affecting power, or this, that, and the other. It just sort of goes on. It puts up with what others would have chopped off 1,000 years ago. In the name of God, it just goes on and puts up with it. You see, it bears other people's sicknesses. It endures to the end. It goes right on. It ministers. It gives its life. It's undefeatable. It's precious. It's glorious. It goes into every circumstance and triumphs over it. It's tested everywhere and is proved to be all victorious. That's right. That is love, as I see it. That is love, as my eyes more and more are fixed on it. It's revolted at nothing. It complains at nothing. It doesn't murmur at anything at all. Amen. Doesn't do anything like that. What it used to be sickened at no more. Ah. Love is tough. Love is enduring. Love is all powerful. Love cannot be broken. Love cannot fail. Love can meet every need, every need. And if in our infancy we can't meet it with all the power we'd like to meet it, we can still meet it with love. Love can meet every need. Oh, it's all so glorious. Once you see this, beloved, it doesn't run away when it's humiliated. It doesn't try to get out of it when it's seen to be insufficient in its infancy days. Amen. It has no pride. It has no jealousy. It has no envy. It never puffs up itself. It never does anything like that. It has no need of these things. It is in itself all sufficient, for it is of God. And this is the love that the Holy Ghost sheds abroad in the heart when he's given to us. And perhaps you may feel, well, I can only have a thimbleful. Well, my beloved, I doubt whether you'll ever have more. I doubt whether you, because you're only a thimble size. Doubt whether you'll ever have more. So you'd better get on with it. You'd better get on with it. But the surprising thing about little things, like a grain of mustard seed, it can become a tree. Do you see? That's the surprising thing about it. It's so glorious to realize you're not reaching out for more, you see. You're not reaching out for more. What you're just wanting is to be filled into all the fullness of God. That's all you're seeking for. Amen. Isn't that a glorious thing? And when you're filled into all the fullness of God, you know, like a thimble, when it's thrown into the ocean, well, it's all right. It's only got a thimble full in it. It can't have an ocean full in it. It's only got a thimble full in it, but it's you know, it's all there. Because they have a thimble full at a time. Glory. But as that lot goes out, the other lot's coming in, you see. You're just filled into all. In other words, beloved, God brings us to oblivion, if I may put it that way. Perhaps that's not the right word. But that oblivion, I really mean to be all comprehension. Can you understand that? That's a contradiction. It's a paradox. But it's right. In that when I come into this all comprehensive understanding, I'm in oblivion. My mind goes away like that. I don't understand it. I'm blotted out. Is that right? You say, oh, these preachers, they're no good, they muddle me up. Well, praise God. That's what preachers are for. You say, well, I thought they were to explain things. No, they're not. They're only to lead you into God. That's what they're for. So that we can love and love and love. And then you see, there's no place of bitterness. None at all. There's no place for the devil to lodge. Glory be to God. You can't be bound by Satan. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? To be able to love and 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 love. Amen. Hallelujah. You can covet earnestly the best gifts, but Paul didn't say, but covet earnestly the best love, did he? No, he didn't say that. All he could say about that was, well, I'll show you a more excellent way. That's all he could say, you see. Hallelujah. That's all he could say. And once you're there, beloved, you've nothing more to covet. Not really. Oh, Paul wasn't coveting them because he had them, because he could show them the more excellent way. Do you see that? That's right. He said, now you covet them, and then I'll show you the more excellent way. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my beloved. If our hearts and minds could come here, if they could understand this, isn't it true that the whole church, I would say, that you know of, the churches, they're all wanting the better and more gifts, and their exhortations on every hand. For isn't this right? You've heard this for the last 10 years, if not more, some of you. 20, 30 years. Beloved, but they don't seem to get them, do they? They don't seem to get them. What they don't see, beloved, is that, to be immersed in this wonderful love of God. Not just to sort of feel it pouring over me. We all start that way, you see. This letter that I got today, this dear woman, she's come into the... He can feel it, it's obvious. I could imagine. I saw her face transformed the other day, and I saw it start to shine. And then on the Saturday morning, she even came out and gave me a big hug. And the day before that, as soon as she sat, get away like this, you see. Ah, yes, violently. You see. I wanted to get away, pulling back, but my, on the Saturday morning, it was all over her face, and came out and gave me a big hug, and I thought that was all right, and praise the Lord. And she's just about, you know, absolutely indulging and glorying in it, but there'll come a time when that'll all go. That'll all pass. Hallelujah. That'll pass. Oh, it won't fade. But it will pass for something better. Hallelujah. And glory. And you won't have a wish anymore, because you'll know you're in. That's right. And then the bliss of self-forgetfulness steals over the entire being. Glory. And the life is going away in the flowings of God's Spirit. Oh, to make me a lover. Now, if you've never known this love like that, don't let anything I say, if I'm speaking, say, on a more advanced level, deter you or in any way hold you back from coming into this blessed, you must know this. You must know it, all of you, in your own experience. You've got to know what it is to be flooded with and carried away by the love of Jesus for you, in you, around you, over you, underneath you. Hallelujah. And the love of Jesus has got to become you. See? That's right. We've got to love one another fervently, purely. Glory be to God. Mind, as soon as you do this, you'll be misunderstood. You mustn't say, oh, everything will be marvelous when I can do that. So it will. But you'll be misunderstood. You'll be misquoted and maligned. Some people will be horrified. Some people will be disgusted. Some people won't want to know you. Some people will talk about you behind your back. Not many people will be brave enough to tell you to your face. Not many. They'll mostly prefer to talk about it behind your back. You'll find very few able to face you about it. That's right. But all these kinds of things will go on. And do you know what they'll all succeed in doing? Making you better at it than you were before. Isn't the Lord wonderful how he defeats what the enemy seeks to do? It's blessed, beloved. And he not only defeats it by sort of working outside you, but he defeats it by working in you. Works in you. And all the glory of the Lord rises up and floods your soul. And when you think about these people who would be your enemies, you don't think, oh, I love them, I think they're wonderful. No, you don't do that. See, that's thinking in words, but you've got to know it's deed. What you'll be doing is, oh, Lord, you know, you'll pray for them that despitefully use you. Yes, you will. And you'll find a way sometime to do something, beloved, that'll defeat everything of the enemy. Yeah, that's right. And you'll be able to move in this glorious realm that the Lord wants you to move in. So then, you'll find that you'll be able to love and love to the end. Right to the end, that's how Jesus loved. He loved to the end. What a wonderful thing. If they could write that on your tombstone, if ever you have one. He loved to the end. She loved to the end. Wouldn't that be marvellous if that could be written on you? Hey? Loved to the end. Praise God. See? And they say, oh, how powerless love is, Lord. How powerless love is. They laid him in a tomb. How powerless. But beloved, the thing about love is this, that it'll have a harvest. It'll have a harvest. Glory. It won't mind if it seems to be brought to naught, for it knows it will then achieve the greatest. It will certainly have a harvest. This love, it will reproduce itself. You'll know it as clear as anything. It will reproduce itself. And others will see in these others that you've been able to love. They'll see the same love coming out. And they'll say, why? Why? Exactly like him, isn't he? Do you see? So this is why John says, listen, behold the first verse of the third chapter of his epistle, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. There you are, just like the Son of God. Praise God. Reproduced in them. Well, now all glory be to his name. Be a lover. Eh? Be an endless lover. Will you? Be an endless lover. Love to the end. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. Be a pure lover, will you? And a fervent lover. Will you be that? Glory be to God. Don't let anything get mixed up in this love. Say, of course, I love brother so-and-so, but... Oh, no. No, that's not pure love. So, of course, I love her, you know, but... See? Oh, no. That sounds so good. I've heard it so many times. They say to me, you see, brother North, I just like... God, I love him, you know. He's a good brother. No, that's not pure. Hallelujah. This is pure. I love him. I think he's wonderful. That's pure. Glory. But impure if you don't think he's wonderful. You say, well, what a thing this love is. Can it really make you think he's wonderful? Oh, yes. Yeah, yes. Really makes you think so. Yeah. Ah, but you can't shut your... Oh, can't you? Can't you? There's none so blind as God's servant. You read Isaiah. There's none so deaf as my servant. None so blind. There you are then. You'd better start believing your Bible. See him any things he seeth not. Hear him any things he heareth not. See? I told you, listen, Peter didn't hear that. Peter didn't hear what Jesus said. He heard about me. He didn't hear that. Because he was the devil's servant. You say, what? Of course he wasn't. He'd been a disciple for 3.5 years. He was a devil's servant. He denied Jesus. Now then, was that God or Satan? Jesus had called him Satan earlier on. Get behind me, Satan, he said. That's right. It's surprising what spirits will follow Jesus, isn't it? It's an eye-opener. Peter didn't hear that. See? None's the blind. You can't blind yourself. No, you can't. That's right. That's your trouble. You're trying to, you see. But it's him that blinds you. He blinds you. He deafens you. Glory be to God. Well, haven't we all got to be soft? Yes. Well, you've got to be more tender than soft. Got to be softer than you know. You're not soft enough. That's the trouble. See? Well, haven't we all got to put up with... Yeah, you've got to put up with a lot more than you've ever... You've ever known anything about yet? You've got to be put to the whipping post and flogged yet? Yeah. Crown of thorns yet? Understand? And then nails beyond that? Praise God. Oh, glory. Do you see what I mean? Do you see what the Lord is saying? The Lord teaches. The Lord open our hearts. The Lord fill us with his strong spirit. Amen. That we can be the eternal lovers of mankind that Jesus is. Amen. And we can love one another as he loves us. And when you think how much he's loved you, and how long? You just think. Did the Holy Spirit ever carry on at you like you've carried on at other people? Did the Holy Ghost ever say things about you like you said about other people? Did he ever? Nay. He never did he? He never did. He just seemed to come. And at the point where I most needed it, he just smothered me in the love of Jesus. That's right. And melted me all up inside. And when he forgave me, he didn't sort of give me a sort of a grudging nodding forgiveness, you know. I heard somebody say this today, that a certain man went to see a certain man and knocked at the door, and the man opened the door and sort of stood there speechless because this other man went on the other side. And there they stood, see, one transfixed inside, the other one's transfixed on the doorstep, because this was a very unexpected visit, see. And the man outside sort of said a thing, and the young man said, yeah, come in. And they went in, and they, of course, nothing was said, but they just sort of had a, it was all patched up, it was all forgiven. But that's not the way Jesus forgave you. That allows it all to come up again. But the way Jesus forgives never allows it to come up again. It's the way it's done, you see. No, can't. Never allows it to come up anymore. And moreover, despite the sort of profits of psychoanalysis that we're getting for preachers today, he didn't go over them one by one, sticking up every little thing I'd ever done and holding it up before my eyes and twirling it round. Now confess it. See? That's not the way Jesus dealt with me. Let me confess that to you. Somehow, he knew, bless him, how to get hold of the whole lot. It's gone. Hallelujah. I've never had to retrace my steps. How can you get free if you're constantly treading back down the path? Of so there's something back down here we never dug out. Let's dig this one out. Listen, what an insult to God. What an insult of God. Now, bondages that have attached out of the past are quite different matters. But, oh, beloved, let's know what God does. Let's know what God does, shall we? Let's be all love, shall we? Let somebody be able to come and rest their head on your shoulder and know it's peace. And rest and security and safety and acceptance and love and wantedness. I tell you, that's a big thing. Wantedness. As though they can't live without you, because God can't live without me, knows. Oh, you think you're somebody, don't you? Yes, I do. Really, I do. I actually believe I'm a member of Christ, and I don't believe he wants to cut one member off him. I believe he wants to live whole, and I'm a member of him. I've got no big ideas about it, no big ideas about it, but I got that one fixed. You see. Isn't that a marvellous thing? Now it won't matter if the airplane blows to bits. And I'm blown to bits with it. See, that don't matter. Will it? Won't matter. Of course it won't matter. You don't understand, or do you understand? Hallelujah. What a glorious thing this is then. You see, here's your freedom. All you do is float away on in love. Come on, let's pray. Jesus. Ah, Jesus. Oh, thou hast come to teach us the heavenly secret. Thou art the secret of God. Thou art that mystery, blessed Lord. Oh, thou didst draw out the Father's heart. Hallelujah. Draw it out unto a man. Man on earth thou wert. And thou hast drawn it out. Parayela quistehem padasti. Spirit of the living God. Thou livest this love in us. Translated into flesh in us, Lord. Fullness. fervent. Oh God, Lord, blessed Lord, blessed Lord, we love thee.